I would like to extend my greetings to the Deputy Minister, to the Honourable Deputy Minister and the Honourable Members. Welcome. I am also struggling to find out who is. There's an iPad, Honourable team. We have established that 174 is Lieutenant Doc, welcome. I'm Meshu, Honourable Meshu also had problems. Could I get an indication from Nicolette if or Babawa if we have a quorum?
Good morning, Chairperson. Yes, we do have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Good morning, Honourable Whip. I'm not going to mention you all by name. We started late today. 5 minutes late, we had some troubles with the login details as well as allowing the members into the meeting. I sincerely apologize for this. Could we first have the report? Could you please, the presentation, iPad, could you remove the presentation? We first need to adopt the agenda and the minutes. Nicolette and Babawa, could I have the agenda in the minutes, please? Honourable members, today we'll do the committee report and the minutes. It seems as if we will not, Nicolette, would we be able to adopt the committee report today?
Chairperson, unfortunately it has to send over to next week. I do apologize for that. We have received another submission, which we will distribute to members.
Don't forget to forward me that link.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Dean. Could you mute, please? We'll adopt the minutes of the previous meeting, and we'll also get the deliberations on the Pocktatara Bill. Honourable members, could we have an adoption for the agenda?
I move, Chair, that the agenda be adopted.
Thank you, Honourable Whip. Thank you, Honourable Whip. Could we adopt the agenda with those amendments? Do I have a seconder?
Seconded.
Thank you, Honourable Shambeni. Could we have the minutes flighted? You? Could I please have the minutes? Honourable, receive the minutes. You could scroll. You may continue. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Thank you very much, Nicolette and Babawa. Could we have a proposal for the adoption of the minutes, please?
Molekwa seconding, Chairperson. Thank you.
Molekwa proposes adoption. Do we have a second?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Whip. Honourable Members, in our last meeting, you requested an indication and clarity on the manner in which the IPED report, which was presented to us by this allowed by the Speaker's Office for us to peruse. There were members who indicated that they had concerns about a classification of the IPET report. There are a number of members who perused the report. The security of the report was maintained at all times. There are still members who, if they wish, should still peruse the report. I have requested that the executive director of IPET and the IPET team present us with an explanation. They'll do so in a presentation. You received that presentation last night. My apologies that you received the presentation so late. Honorable members, we have an acting national commissioner. Our national commissioner has been booked off ill. Our minister has sent an apology. I have accepted his apology. He is with the president at the Presidential Gender-Based Violence Summit. Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, for assisting us. Babawa, do we have any further apologies? Babawa, apologies? Honorable Meshe requests to be excused at 10:30 to attend the PC on International Relations. Your apology is accepted. Nicolette and Babawa, do you have any further apologies?
Yes, Chair, I received the apology from Honorable Majolze. She will not be able to attend the meeting.
To Babawa. Honorable members, I've noted the hand of Honorable Siavi.
Thank you, Chair. I was just requesting that we know who the acting national commissioner is so that we are able to address him or her accordingly.
Thank you, Honorable Whoop. The Deputy Minister will introduce the team. Honorable Deputy Minister, you may do so now.
Thank you very much, Chair. And good morning to members of the committee and the delegation that we came with. The acting national commissioner is Lieutenant General Musikidi, who is a deputy national commissioner. I will ask that at the appropriate time she be allowed to show her face so that members can see her. I'm with her and her team from SAPS, and I'm also with the national head of DPCI, Dr. Advocate Lieutenant General Levea, and from the civilian and his team, and from the civilian secretariat, I am joined by Advocate Bell and her team. The acting secretary is having other commitment, and of course I'm with the parliamentary officers of both the ministry and the and SAPS, including staff from the ministry's office. Thank you very much. That is the delegation that we have brought this morning for the purposes of, and of course I have the executive director of IPET together with her team, who will be leading us in the presentation of the response emanating from both the correspondence that came from the chair's office, but also from the correspondence coming from the speaker's office through the Secretary of Parliament. So this is the delegation that we have, Chair, to come and appear before the committee to respond to the question that the committee has raised through your office. And indeed, the minister has submitted his apology, which you have already spoken to, Chair. So this is the compliment of our team. Thank you very much. I think you were saying I must introduce the delegation only. You didn't suggest I say something beyond that, and I don't want to misunderstand what you said I should do. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Deputy Minister, you know me. Well, Deputy Minister, you said we'll see the face of the acting NASCOM.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to the honorable members. Good morning to the GM. Chairperson, yes, I am Lieutenant General Musikidi, the acting National Commissioner. Thank you.
Yeah, and Chair, I must also indicate that the acting secretary is in attendance. It's just that I was given information contrary to that, but he indicates that he's here as well, Mr. Ramaro. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ramaro. I saw your gadget identified. You are welcome. We'll be available later to respond to the members on the Pokitara Bill, Amendment Bill. Honorable Deputy Minister, it's your opportunity to introduce the presentation of IPIT now. Thank you. IPIT, once the Deputy Minister has introduced the presentation, you'll be allowed to flight your presentation, and you'll also then be allowed to introduce Executive Director. Welcome. You'll also be able to introduce your team. Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning once more to you and to members of the committee, the Executive Director of IPIT, the Acting Commissioner, the National Head of the Hawks, and the Acting Secretary present here. It's an honor and a privilege for me to this morning, on behalf of the Ministry, to lead this delegation to come and make a presentation before you, Chair, about the classification of the IPED report on the matter of Lieutenant Colonel Kinnear, a classification which was done at the inception of the processes of investigation up to the end of the report that was submitted to the Speaker. Which was classified as a top secret report. But subsequent to that, there were issues raised around the matter, and we appeared before, confirmed that indeed the report is classified. It was the understanding that the Speaker's office had and continue to have in terms of how they dealt with the report, but they also corresponded to the ED to request that she reconfirm whether that is the case, and a letter was returned to the Speaker to reconfirm that indeed this is a top, it's classified as a top secret document. And however, I'll allow the Executive Director through you, Chair, to lead in the presentation of the report that we have before.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, Honorable Chairperson, and esteemed members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much for allowing us to make a presentation on the request on the classification of the IP report on the matter of the late Lieutenant Colonel Kinnear. Chairperson, I am with the Chief Investigator in this room. He is going to take us through. And based on the presentation, we can then allow the committee to then ask us questions. So the Chief Investigator is Mr. September. So I'm going to hand over to him to then run with the presentation. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. September.
Thank you, Executive Director. Morning, Chairperson. Morning, Deputy Minister. And also morning to the honorable colleagues and the members of Parliament. We are appreciative of the fact that we can do our presentation.
My apologies, Mr. September. Could you correct your camera, please? Could you center your camera? You are sitting next to me. Could we have the camera focused now, Mr. September? ED, yes, we don't need you in the picture. Thank you, Mr. September. That gives us a better view of you. You may continue. Apologies for disturbing you.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. Once again, morning to the members, and good morning to yourself and the Deputy Minister. So we, as a team, have basically, after the request from yourself, Chairperson, we have been, compiled a classification presentation. The first of the presentation refers to the index, which talks about our legislative mandate, the background, classification of the investigation. So the next slide, which is our mandate, IPED derives its constitutional mandate from Chapter 11 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, with specific reference to Section 206, Subsection 6 of the said Constitution, read with Act 1 of 2011, that's the IPED Act, that empowers IPED as an oversight body over the South African Police Service and Municipal Police Service established under Section 64 Capital A of the South African Police Service Act 68 of 1995 as amended. Now, IPED is obligated under Section 28, one of the IPED Act, as a director to investigate the following matters. A, any deaths in police custody. B, deaths as a result of police action. C, any complaint relating to the discharge of an official firearm by any police officer. D, rape by a police officer, whether the police officer is on or off duty. E, rape of any person while the person is in police custody. F, any complaint of torture or assault against police officer in the execution of his or her duties. G, corruption matters within the police initiated by the executive director on her own. And then after the receipt, obviously, of a complaint from a member of public or referred to the directorate by the minister or an MSC or the secretary, as the case may be. And then finally, H, any other matter referred to it as a result of a decision by the executive director or if requested by the minister, MSC or the secretary, as the case may be, in the prescribed manner. The next slide, we deal with the background. A letter of complaint, Honorable Chair, was received on the 3rd of December 2020 from the former National Commissioner of the South African Police Services, namely by a report secret. In addition to this letter, further documentation classified as secret was subsequently received from the Minister of Police, dated the 26th of April 2021, for IPED to conduct Act 1 of 2011. The ED then appointed the task team on the 21st of to investigate the matter. After the investigation was completed, a report was submitted to the Office of the National Director of Prosecutions, namely the NDPP's office, the National Commission of Police and the Minister of Police for consideration and implementation. Now, members and Honorable Chair, it's the standard practice that information related to any investigation conducted by the Directorate cannot be disclosed to any parties other than those mentioned in the IPED Act with the sections, specifically Section 7 and Section 33, Subsection 2 of the IPED Act. Next slide, please. The report was classified as top secret, Madam Chair, due to a number of sensitive information, incriminating statements made under oath and related documentary evidence that is contained in the report. The report also contains personal identifiable information, which we commonly, as an acronym known as PII. That is private and confidential information that, if disclosed, would inadvertently offend against the very protection offered by the POPI Act and open to the state of civil litigation and subject uses private data information to further abuse. I'm referring to victims' personal data information in the report. The wolf of disclosure also of the identity of those members implicated in the report may be found to be against the enunciated principles of the rules of natural justice, and in particular the Audi Alteram Partem principle, because these members have not been afforded the opportunity to plead their case in open court. The Directorate maintains that procedural fairness protects the rights of individuals and enhances public confidence in the process. It is further trite that our constitution affords every person the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty by a court of law. The SAPS internal investigation, the report attached to the letter of complaint also, which informed the IPED investigative report, has been classified as secret, and this document has since not been declassified by the author or the head of the institutions. Deemed IPED to classify the report as top secret. Our court, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, the Directorate continues to reassess the level of classification, and when circumstances change, it might consider regrading the report. IPED will continue in terms of the adherence to the minimum information security standards, which is referred to as the MIS. And the Directorate is reviewing the security and vetting to strengthen information security. So I thank you, members. That is my presentation.
Thank you very much, ED. Would you like to add to that presentation? Thank you to your team. Thank you to Mr. September.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we as IPED are continuing to maintain that this report remains a top secret up until circumstances are changing and up until we are certain that this has been tested in a court of law. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much to the IPED team and the ED. You may remove your presentation. The honourable members, you have an opportunity to ask questions or comment now.
And Chair, if I may, before members come.
You may.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Chair. If you can remove the slide as the Chair has requested. Just to also indicate, Chair, that a correspondence was sent to the Secretary of Parliament after he has made a report to the Executive Director about the classification, and she has written a letter confirming that yes, indeed, the report is classified. I just thought I must also put that through, which I think the ED should have done that to make members aware about that communication between the Secretary of Parliament and her office. Thank you. But thanks once more for giving us the opportunity to clarify this matter, like all other matters that you always from time to time request us to appear before the this platform. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to the team and Honourable Deputy Minister. I've now noted a number of hands. The first hand is Honourable Whitfield, Terblanche, Meshu, Groenewald, Shembeni. In that order, Honourable Whitfield, you may start.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity and for the presentation. Chairperson, unfortunately, I believe that this presentation conflates the IPED report with the SAPS internal investigation. The presentation is not clear and does not separate those two reports in explaining which is classified. It either lumps them together or perhaps even deliberately creates some confusion, which would be a serious concern. At this point, members have not received any specific evidence that indicates whether the report is classified. Any of the letters that were referred to by the Deputy Minister have not been provided to the committee that I'm aware of. And I've certainly, having now seen the report, have a number of other concerns, and obviously the content of that report I will not repeat here, but certain procedural issues and concerns that I have. The IPED presentation, Chair, and I just would like to stress that it is critically important that we actually receive specific answers, because up to this point, it appears that we are getting provided sort of the convenient responses without specific detail. And we now need to demand specific details around the classification. This presentation that we've just received explains that the SAP investigation was classified secret or top secret at inception. Now, we just need to be 100% clear whether it was in fact former General Ketla Sithole, former National Police Commissioner Ketla Sithole, who classified it. That's the first question, which may seem redundant, but I'd like to hear that very clearly from the ED. The presentation also does not say when the IPED report was classified and by whom. Only certain officials with certain level of seniority have the authority to classify such a document. I want to know the IPED report, to be clear, Chair, not the SAP's internal investigation report, not the preliminary IPED report, but the final IPED, to be more specific, which official within IPED classified the IPED report as top secret and on what date? Chair, we've read the report. A number of members of the committee have had the opportunity to go and read the report. A concern was raised by my colleague Honorable Groenewald about clearance. We were told that's not a problem. We are more than entitled to go and view the report, and many of us went. And I've read the report, and as far as I'm concerned, it is not classified. And now I refer to the IPED report. I want to keep making this clear, Chairperson. I'm not disputing whether or not the SAP's internal investigation report was classified top secret or not. I'm contesting that the IPED report is classified top secret. And I say this because, Chair, we were not required to obtain security clearance to read the report. The report was only watermarked top secret on the cover page, and no other page or annexure in the report was watermarked top secret. I'm not aware of what the circumstances for other members were, Chair, but I was certainly not asked to sign any document acknowledging or agreeing to the top secret nature of the document and the implications of such classification. I was only required to sign an attendance register to say that I had arrived at a particular time and that I'd left at a particular time. And so, Chairperson, I've asked very specific questions here that I think we demand an answer. And it's unfortunate that we have no evidence before us other than the presentation around the classification process. It remains unclear which official on what date classified this document. And then, as I've said, why members of Parliament were not required top secret clearance to go and read this report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Whitfield. Honourable members, I think that we should receive some responses before I allow other members to respond. I'm going to take the first round of hands, and then I will take those responses. So if you do have the same concerns as Honourable Whitfield, then I will allow them or the Deputy Minister and the IPED head to respond to each question meticulously. These questions are very important. Skip any of the questions, and no questions will be responded to in writing. This is the opportunity in which we have to clarify these matters, since we will be discussing the report on the recommendations made by IPET in the IPET report. Honourable Whitfield is correct. There's a SAPS report and a SAPS investigation and the IPET preliminary report, which was given to the members in the viewing, which was top secret, and then the final report, which was dated May. The preliminary report was a 2021 report, and the final report was a May 22, 2022 report. I'll now accept Honourable Terblanche input. Honourable Terblanche, you're next.
Chairperson, thank you. I also want to start by confirming that I also read the report. I went in and I read the report, and I also had the same experience that my colleague, the Honourable Whitfield, explained. Chairperson, and as far as I'm concerned, that report is also not classified. It's supposed to be classified. And, you know, even today, while it's classified, we got confirmation again that we are dealing with a classified report. And yet, Chairperson, it's covered in today's August. In today's August, in the newspaper, there is an article about the so-called classified report. Chairperson, then I have a few questions. Slide 2. The completed investigation was submitted to the Office of the National Director of Public Prosecution and the National Commissioner and the Minister. My question there is, Chairperson, when? When was that done? Chairperson, then I think that IPED, with all due respect, I think it's a good investigation. The report is quite comprehensive. But I think that they got lost. If I go to slide 3, IPED got lost in this legislation. The stuff that is mentioned on slide 3, Chairperson, I mean, are we going to classify all cases that is being indicted from now on? So the very same principles that Mr. September mentioned there and is outlined on slide 3 is also applicable in all investigations. So I think that Mr. September and the director, or the director forgot that they are acting within the space and within the guidelines of the Criminal Procedure Act. And obviously people are dealt with there within that prescripts. So I don't see how they get to this other stuff. And, you know, even things that they even mentioned that the people didn't have their day in court yet. And my question is then, why not? What happened to the referral of the case to the national prosecuting authority? Chairperson, in terms of their own legislation, their section 7.4, it stated very clearly that it must be referred there. And the minister must be informed accordingly. Now, the minister was informed more than a year ago. More than a year ago. And yet nothing happened. So, Chairperson, I am very concerned that, you know, the committee is hamstrung by, you know, duck and dive methods. We cannot go on like this. I strongly oppose the so-called classification of this document, and I really think that is not classified. Chairperson, if I go to the last page, slide 4, there is, and I quote, the directorate is reviewing the security and vetting to strengthen information security. And the one just before that, adherence to the minimum information security standard must. Chairperson, what are we dealing with? Apparently, these people don't know what we're dealing with at the moment. Just the last comment that I want to make, Chairperson. A top secret classification must surely, you know, put the state security of the country, you know, at risk. And I haven't read any indicate that or suggesting that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable de Blanche. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity we have to ask questions about this report. Obviously, in the introduction, when I heard the DM saying classification happened at the inception of the investigation, it raised a major concern. If investigations are classified top secret from inception, this will easily enable and assist cover-ups. We know that the over years, we have been told and we have seen corruption among the police, including even this morning I read an article about a policeman who was arrested for hijacking. He hijacked an off-duty JMPD officer, not knowing that the way this was a police person off duty. So police are involved in corruption. Almost every day you hear about that. But then when investigations are done, and then even before they ended, the investigation is classified top secret. This is definitely making a major loophole that must be closed. Because if this loophole is not closed, then you are going to continually hear of reports about police corruption, and members of the community will continue not trusting the police. We want members of the community to trust the police. But now, if there is cover-up, some who are involved, their friends ensure that it is not known that they were involved by classifying the investigation top secret. I don't think this is in the interest of justice. I need to be convinced that this is in the interest of justice. At inception, it's totally unacceptable. I also want to know who has the authority to classify a report and at what stage. In the case where an investigation is classified from inception, what would have happened to cause that to happen? Who has the authority to classify? And on what basis is a report or even top secret? On what basis? I also want to know whether it is an individual, and we must know who is that individual, or a group of people that agree to classify reports. If it is an individual, who is that individual? And who gave them that authority? And if it is a group of people, who are those or who appointed them, and on what basis? We do our best in communities, particularly townships, to stop people from taking the law into their own hands. But people are complaining. They are saying police are complicit in criminal acts that are taking place. So when a police is suspected, and from inception, what is being investigated, even before it has been finalized, they are already classified top secret. This is totally unacceptable. Now, to hear former policemen, the brother who just spoke, the Honorable Tablanch, I know it's one of them, who were police officers, high-ranking police officers, who know what a top secret report looks like. They speak from experience. I've never been a policeman. But we have members who are speaking from experience. And I know Honorable Shembeni was also a police officer. They are speaking from experience. Are we trying to cover up when serious investigations are done on police officers, particularly those high-ranking police officers. And when those investigations are done, for people not to know what is happening, it's just classified top secret. We know the Western Cape High Court, a few weeks ago, said they have evidence, a judge said they have evidence, that gangsters have infiltrated top management. Now, when the top management is investigated, are all the investigations going to be classified top secret? Chairperson, we really want the respect for our police officers in South Africa to be restored. But at the speed we are going, with the classification of investigations at inception being labeled top secret, it is totally unacceptable. So we want to know who is that person that decides. Can an investigator make a decision or recommend it be top classified top secret, or what is happening? We need some answers. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not going to open my video. The signal is not very strong where I am today. Chairperson, I'm not going to repeat the questions asked by the other colleagues. I agree. I also would like to have those answers. But Chairperson, if I look at the presentation, it says that the report was classified as top secret due to a number of sensitive information, incriminating statements made under oath and related documentary evidence. Now, I want to ask Chairperson, my first question is, what is the sensitive information? If you are sensitive about names, tell me what is the sensitive information. The second question, Chairperson, is it says the report contains personal identifiable information. It refers to the POPI Act. And I read that with the willful disclosure of the identity of the implicated persons in the report may be found to be against the enunciated principles of the rules of natural justice, and in particular the Ari Ultram Parton principle. Now, Chairperson, if I take those two aspects, then it means that no person that had been charged with a criminal offense, and I'm talking about the general justice system, means that they are not allowed to be known. It means that the newspapers are not allowed to report on people, because in terms of this presentation, they would violate the POPI Act and also the principle of Ari Ultram Parton. Now, with great respect, Chairperson, I reject that. Because, I mean, the principles of natural justice or Ari Ultram Parton is part of the justice process in a court where a person has the right, and to put it in simple terms, the court must hear the other side of the case or the story. Now, it doesn't make sense, because I say again and I repeat, that will mean that we will never be able again to, and I say accused of some other criminal offense. So I also want to know, if they say that they have followed the minimum information security standards, they must explain to me that process. That is, can I say, the third question. Or actually the fourth. The last question, Chairperson, and the Honorable Whitfield that referred to myself, and let me say I didn't read the report, and I want to know, now if you have this top secret document, how is it that the Speaker can have the authority to declassify the document to allow people who do not have a top secret clearance can go and read the document? Because if you read a top secret document and you yourself don't have that clearance, then you are contravening the law and actually committing a crime. in itself. I'd like those answers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Groenewald, Honorable Shembeni, and then Honorable Siabi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody, Deputy Minister, and IPIT Executive Director. Chair, a lot has been said by my honorable members, but I want to be straight in asking those questions. Like to say, an investigation has been done. There is a report, and seemingly this has been taken up with the NDPP. Meaning, yes, we do have suspects that I may call suspects or whatever. But my biggest concern, how long is this thing going to take? Because we've got a tendency of people resigning when they are found to be in contravention of some certain acts, or where they've so-called now are involved in certain crimes and the like. And for instance, if people are protected to say that they are senior managers, there is nothing like senior manager to me. If you are a policeman or woman, we are all the same. We might differ in ranks, but we are the same. If you are involved in crime, drastic steps need to be taken against the very same person. The person must be exposed. Why constables are? Is that because they are junior? No, it can't be. So there is nothing like that. We must protect senior official or whatever. This is totally, totally unacceptable. We have seen in TVs, national TVs and everywhere, our young constables and whatever, lower ranking officials or non-commissioned officers are seen here being handcuffed in public here on national TVs. But there are people that are kept secret, that are protected. But there are senior officials who knows exactly that they must abide about the rules. They must be examples to those young ones. But they are kept secret, they are protected. Why? We can't have such a thing. These people must be exposed. How long is this thing going to take into the National Director of Public Prosecutions before some of them resign? Because looking at these things, we are getting, people are resigning. We have not had this. People are resigning. What is it that is going to happen after a person has resigned from the SAPS? Nothing. Meaning, this classified report or the investigation will be null and void. I don't think that this is helping us. We must see actions being taken against the perpetrators or those people involved. We must see them in custody if it needs be. But what I see here, I only see departmental steps being taken against some of the members, whereas there is a life lost here. And as we speak now, some of those members that are implicated are still working. And what is the meaning of that? If we are still having this dirty linen within the SAPS, it means we don't know what we are doing. So action must be taken, Chair. We must be seen as a living department and an example in other departments in South Africa. Because this is the department that if it's weak, there is nothing that is going to happen in our government. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni, Honorable Siabi.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Honorable Siavi.
Thank you, Jefferson. Let me also greet the DM, the acting NASCOM, head of PCI, the head of IPIT, and the head of Secretariat, together with their team and honorable members and everybody who's on the platform. And let me welcome the presentation from IPIT. Most of my questions have been raised by other honorable members, Chair. I just have two questions. In the last slide, but one, on the way forward, the presentation raises adherence to MIS. I just want to request, if possible, that in summary, we be educated as to how you classify document in line with the MIS. Two, the first led under way forward says there's possibility that the classification may be changed depending on certain circumstances. Can I be educated as to what circumstances may lead to a declassification of that document, of that report that we are talking about? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. And thank you very much, Honorable Siabi, and all the members who participated. Honorable members, we indeed have raised a number of questions, and we need responses to those questions. The first question that we need to have responded to, Honorable Whitfield, I've noted your hand. Remember I said you will have a second round of questions. So could I raise my concerns and then I'll give you another round of questions. The first concern that I have is that the 2021 preliminary report leaked. We read articles that were published in 2021 in the Daily Maverick. Now, Honorable Whitfield raised this. He mentioned his concern that if a report has already been covered in the media, if you still consider this to be a top secret report. If the report was covered in the media last year and you have not subsequently in your office and the public access to the media, do you still consider this to be a classified report? Secondly, Honorable De Blanche notes that an article was published today. It means that the preliminary report is not very different to the final report, and any media house could have repeated what was published in the Daily Maverick last year. A year has passed since the preliminary report was leaked. What has happened subsequently? What is different to the preliminary report being leaked and thus classification was compromised? And the final report, which you gave the minister and the national commissioner in 2022 May. I would also like to know, very seriously, and the members have requested this information, I would like to know how you have classified this document from the beginning to the end. Kindly explain to us if you have followed the prescripts of the MIST document from the beginning to the end. Members, more than one member, have requested this information. I kindly expect you to respond to all the questions that have been asked. We will not be given an opportunity to respond in writing. Thank you very much. Honorable Deputy Minister, if you would like to start responding, or else we will hand over to the Executive Director. General Labia is also here. If he would like to respond, you could indicate so.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you to members for the questions that they have raised. I must say, Chair and members, that there is no intention from the leadership of the South African Police, the Ministry, and both the leadership of SAPS, DPCI, and IPT to do a cover-up on with regard to the killing of Colonel Kine. Those responsible must face the consequences of the law. And I think we should not lose sight of that. The issue of leaked a report that finds itself in the media. In most cases, when people leak information, they want to preempt you from doing what is right or what you are supposed to do. And we are not going to allow ourselves to be defocused by people who have bad intentions and do what has happened with regard to this leak. The leaks that have happened will never justify that because something is leaked, therefore you can't continue to do what you think correctly you need to do. We'll continue to do so. We can't declassify documents just because somebody leaked it. Or because it was in a report this morning. We can't do that. I think once we operate that way, we will always act on the basis of those who leak information want us to do, basically to tie our hands and not make us to proceed with whatever we want to proceed or proceed in a manner that will satisfy those who had those intentions to defocus what is at play. So I think the members of the committee shouldn't approach this on the basis of reporting that took place in the media for whatever reason. You have requested us to confirm whether this is the case or not, and we have confirmed that yes, it's classified. But this does not mean that members can't discuss these issues. They need to discuss them, follow proper processes. I think Honorable Krunebald made an indication that if something is classified for people to go and peruse them, there should be a particular process. I won't talk to that because I think that is a matter which the speaker is better positioned to talk to, because that the permission for members to access was granted by a different author. I guess that is a different process altogether. The intention was never for members to look at these matters or to conceal any information. No, that is not. And even today, the clarification that we are giving here does not mean that members following the proper processes can't engage with what is at play. This matter must be engaged with, and we need to give it proper closure after having followed the right processes in dealing with the matters. I might have commented in my comment that the matter is top secret, but I didn't mean that when investigations are done, the intention is to conceal. Obviously, any case that is being investigated, there are no pronouncements about those cases. Investigations are conducted and concluded and communicated to the relevant authorities where certain decision must be taken. And once the decision to prosecute is taken, such individuals get arrested and they appear before the court, and the public and the media will know about such cases once people have appeared in court, and people will write about those things. Even in this case, if somebody gets arrested for the death of Colonel Kinen, and that person appears before court, he will appear before court and it will become public knowledge. People will write about it. The processes follow that. There are no pronouncements before people appear. Before court, even ourselves, you know, we don't know when people are going to be arrested. We will only know who has been arrested once they appeared in court, and you know, either the media announces that so and so appeared in court as ministry. That's when we know. But before that, we don't know because of how things are done or are supposed to be done. And so the any investigation that is done in accordance with how investigations are supposed to be conducted. And if finality is made on a specific investigation, then the police communicate with the prosecution authority through the proper processes, and people get arrested and they appear in court, and once they appear in court, then the confidentiality of the investigative processes ceases. But I think we have got professionals here who can explain better the process than myself, because I am not a specialist in that regard, and I will allow either the acting national commissioner or General Bea, the ED, in their responses to elaborate on the processes. And yeah, but I think I wanted to talk to the other questions that members have raised. Over to you, ED. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. Before the ED responds, Honorable Members, ED, and Honorable Deputy Minister, the report leaked a year ago. The preliminary report leaked a year ago. There were 5 articles in the Daily Maverick. It's not a new leak. The report leaked a year ago. What has been done in terms of that leak, and what is different to the leak of a year ago and the report being classified today? Would we have any substantial difference? Does it make a difference to the classification of the report? What has happened from, what is different to what happened in September last year and today? It's a year later. The report was leaked a year ago. We read those articles. There's very little difference between what you wrote and what was in the preliminary report, what was covered in the Daily Maverick, and what we are dealing with today. Could I have an explanation? Honorable Whitfield raised this before. A number of other members raised this before. Honorable Deputy Minister, if you would like to come in now, or else I will hand over to the ED.
No, I will allow the ED to come in, Chair, but I'm saying that the leaked information is leaked information. This is a report that we have submitted, and it has been classified. I think they'll explain the classification. And I will maintain, Chair, that you know, if something is leaked, it doesn't make it right. And we can't say because this thing was leaked, therefore you can't classify a report. I would not agree with that approach, because I don't think we should be guided by leaked information. This is an official report that we're presenting to the leaked document. Thanks, Chair. And I'll request the EPD to elaborate if she feels there's a need.
Thank you, Honorable Meshu. You will come in the second round. This is the first round. Executive Director and your team, you start responding to all the questions now. Before I take a second round, I'll request that members indicate if they have the questions which have not been responded to. General Labia, you may also respond. Executive Director, you may indicate who will respond now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to all the questions that were raised, which were valid. Chairperson, I must say that we did not want to bow out to pressure that was because of the leakage that took place, because we were still adamant saying that there is sensitive information where people are mentioned in the report, especially the victims, particularly when you look at some of the documents, sensitive documents that we're talking about. Those information, some of them are victims that are mentioned in the process. And there's some other things that took place before, which was brought to the attention of the national, the then national commissioner, which was brought to the attention of our minister. I must say that it was very difficult, especially to investigate during the time when the leakage was there. The reason why we ended up saying it's top secret, it's because of that information. This other sensitive information that we continue to try and protect it, because when we engaged with the victims, we realized that it's information that cannot be shared with people from outside. People are scared, and people say that if we are going to expose it, then they were not going to take any oath with us as IPP whilst we're investigating the report itself. But second to that, Chairperson, when the report was given to us, it was mentioned secret because an investigation had already taken place in SAFS. Now, what was needed from us was to come up with an independent investigation just to see if their own report is not different from what we're getting. Now, we managed to gather more than that. We managed to gather statements from people. And these are statements that we are trying to protect from the media, from the public, because they are victims. I'm still emphasizing the reason why we are dealing with this. Why we're still keeping it at the top secret. It's because of the victims that have spoken to us, that have given us information at the end of the day. But I must also indicate to the House, we are not going to be protecting any police officers, be it senior officers, be it junior officers. We have made recommendations to the then National Commissioner. We've even submitted our report to the current National Commissioner to act on the people and the officers that are implicated in the process. I also want to say, there are members who have resigned, and it does not exonerate them from also being charged. There is a criminal case that we've opened as well, just to deal with this matter, because we've opened a criminal case, and it's now 13 months, if not 14 months, which we have set with the DPPP to say, can you deal with this criminal cases? We're not protecting anybody else. Let me re-emphasize that. We will never cover up for police officers who are corrupt. We will never certainly do that. And with regards to the process around the top secret, we want to acknowledge we did not follow the MIS process. But Chairperson, together with the investigating officers, after we have weighed the information, we then acknowledge that this must be kept secret from the public as well as the very same officers that are involved in the process. Because we were 18, we are waiting for action. We made recommendations. We want those actions to be taken. Yes, we have received reports from the Hawks, the TPCI. We realize that there are some challenges. We're still contesting with the TPCI or the national head of the Hawks with regards to the response that we got. We are not happy. And secondly, SAPS has not responded, and we're still waiting for that. Despite the numerous requests or letters that were sent to SAPS, we realize that no action has been taken. And subsequent to that, we then open a criminal case against the person who did not want to act on what we've said, who did not want to cooperate on our processes. So there are some actions that have taken place, and we're still saying, despite the report being finalized, it does not stop us to pursue what we have recommended. That's why we are still saying, allow us, Chairperson, let us not open this investigation to public. Allow us to then engage with people who we have written these recommendations to. Let them respond to us and tell us what action are they taking. Because the difficulty is wanting to send it out to public. And, and right now, we are asking ourselves, now that we have seen the report, how do we then maintain this top secret? We've mentioned that we are going to we will review the level of classification based on the circumstances. Circumstances are when we've been responded to, when we've gone for legal review, because suddenly after this threat, the national prosecutor has declined the prosecution of the case that we've presented to them. Now we're taking that for legal review because we are adamant. After the efforts and the work that we put into investigating this case, we are still saying be charged criminally. We're saying the people must also be dealt with in a disciplinary hearing. But I'm going to allow my chief investigator to also come in and explain the process.
Thank you, Executive Director. Just to add on what the Executive Director has indicated, firstly, the IPET investigation took over just over a year. And it is a shame that the effort that was placed into this investigation by myself and the team, the manner in which we investigated this matter and the extent to which we've investigated this matter, that we seem to be deemed to protect individuals. We take exception to that. We are not here to protect any individuals. We must follow due process. The team and myself, under my leadership, when we presented the preliminary report, that was in September of 2021, we also marked the preliminary report as top secret. It is unfortunate that that particular report was leaked. And again, maybe we should address in future the excess that media houses have in institutions, that they can compromise investigation, put people's lives at stake. People like myself and my team, and even other investigators and other law enforcement agencies. So we have presented that report in 2021, and it was classified. Yes. Some members have indicated, and maybe I should just start with the Honorable Member Whitfield, who indicated that once he has read the report, he was not asked questions about his vetting, whether he has top security clearance. Now, we understand that Parliament has its own processes, and we have been informed that Parliament will deal, even if a matter is classified, with their processes as to how members will access
the report. So we cannot answer questions as to why was the honorable member not asked about these other members. We understand that play the oversight role. And hence, we would understand that there is processes in place for the honorable members to access the report. The question was, when was the report classified? The report was classified upon presentation to the executive director. By whom? Firstly, as myself, as the director of investigations, and also I've been classified it in terms of my powers, if I may have those powers, but the executive director has also agreed with my decision. The date, as I've indicated, was on the 4th of May 2022, when the final report was issued. Then members, we were asked about the Honourable Member Terblanche. He said he also read the report, and according to him, the report is not classified, and it's covered in the Argus. We maintain, Honourable Member, that this report is classified, although we may not have followed the view, to the letter, the classification as pronounced by MIS, and we acknowledge same. We acknowledge that we did not follow the processes as outlined in the MIS, but from an investigative point of view, that is what we've done. We have classified it, although it is basically the cover page. Now, we have also presented this report to a question that came from Member Groenewald to say that on this slide, we talk about sensitive information. Now, we are the custodians of that information, and our report cannot be read in isolation. The report must be read in the context of the annexes. And if members have insight into the annexes and the whole content of the annexes, you will understand that there are matters of national security in those annexes. And if those information gets leaked, or that information, because once this report is deemed open for public, with those data, with the matters that is of national interest, those matters, it is a serious issue for our national security. So the document cannot, the report cannot be seen in isolation of the annexes. The POPI Act is there to protect the victims. The victims, that there is hundreds of pages of data information of victims. Some of these victims have already been murdered. And do we expect, or do we want, again, and we are trying to fight this issue. It is a bigger issue at stake here. We know that people are being murdered through their personal information. And this has come out through the Kenia murder. He was monitored through his cell phone. And unfortunately, that was the catalyst. And this is indeed still the catalyst in the report when you have regard to the annexes of our report. And you will see all those victims in that particular report. And those victims have a right of recourse. They still have a right of recourse. And we don't know to what extent they have already been violated further in May, suffer further serious injuries. Then in the matter of Honorable Simbeni, who asked about how long is it going to take and the tendency of people resigning, We have, for that specific reason, issued a preliminary report of those members, because that was the idea of the preliminary report, that we knew that members were going to go on retirement or were faced with ill health. And we presented the preliminary report with recommendations to the National Commissioner to ensure that those members, before they go on retirement, they face the consequences. Unfortunately, that is in the domain of the National Commissioner, and the National Commissioner must respond to those recommendations made in the prelim, as well as the recommendations made in the final report. That is for the National Commissioner to respond to. We have made recommendations to the DPCI head. The DPCI head, the National Head, Advocate Lubia, has responded in 2021 already, and we are engaging that particular response because we are also not content with or happy with the specific stance. The issue of Mr. Chiavi, the Honourable Member, we will ask our legal services to discuss the misdocument adherence and what circumstances may cause the reason to that. Thank you. Chair.
Over to our legal guy, Mr. Ramaphosa, to then come in and explain the misprocess. But before I hand over to Mr. Ramaphosa, Chairperson and esteemed members, the very same Mr. September was attacked whilst we were busy investigating this case. His family was nearly shot at, his daughters were nearly killed because of the very same leakage that we are dealing with. So this is very serious, and what still says will never protect anyone. We will make sure that everybody is exposed who are responsible for this, for the death of, for the protection that was supposed to have been given to the late Kenneth Kenya. Over to you, Mr. Ramaphosa.
Thank you, Executive Director.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Chair, point of order.
Honorable Groenewald, I note your point of order, and I have a point of order as well. Honorable Groenewald, you may raise your point of order.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with great respect, I must say that I feel insulted this morning. Insulted because it seems that the members of the police services think that we are a couple of fools. We've just heard that the MISS procedure hasn't been followed. Now we want, and they want to tell us the procedure they follow. It doesn't make sense, Chairperson. We are wasting time. And with great respect, in the presentation, it was said that they have followed the procedure of the MISS. Now we must hear verbally that they did not. Chairperson, the police service, and I always fight and try to protect the police services. But this morning, Chairperson, is an insult to the portfolio committee. It is an insult, in fact, to Parliament. It is quite clear. If the procedure hasn't been followed, then the document is null and void as far as the classification is concerned. What is so difficult to understand about it? So please, sir, I ask you to rule on the matter that we are wasting time. How can there be an explanation on all these issues if they didn't follow the document has not been correctly classified and the classification must be withdrawn immediately? Thank you.
Honourable members, Honourable Groenewald is correct. There is an acknowledgement that the misprocesses have not been followed from the Executive Director and from Mr. September. I am therefore not going to be taking any further discussions on the matter. Honourable Whitfield, and then Honourable de Blanche, and then I will close the matter.
Chair, thank you very much. I accept that, and I have a range of questions and concerns, but perhaps just in respect of what Honorable Groenewald has raised, which is absolutely apposite, it's my understanding that a head of department, which would be the executive director in this case, may request an exemption from a provision of the MIS, and that that request should be submitted to the minister. So before we end this, Chair, it would perhaps be instructive to understand whether such an exemption from the minimum information security standards was in fact applied for to the minister, and whether that was granted. That would be the only provision that would allow allow them not to adhere strictly to the MIS as set out in law. So I think we just need that clarification whether the minister was in fact, whether he was in fact approached for such an exemption. And if he was not, I would agree with Honorable Groenewald that there is absolutely no way, unfortunately, that this can be classified top secret. And that is a shame, because what Mr. September raised are a range of very serious concerns. And it is not the intention of this committee to cast aspersions on the investigators or the investigation, but it is the responsibility of this committee to ensure that we do proper oversight, Chair. And IFED obviously is aware that they are an independent body. They are not part of the police department and not required necessarily to classify their own reports just because police reports are classified. But this is very alarming news that the MIS wasn't followed. And I think there's only one way that they can clarify that, and that is to clarify for us whether the minister was approached for an exemption. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Whitfield. Honourable De Blanche, Siabi, and then Meshu.
Chairperson, thank you. I align myself with what was said by the two previous honourable members. Person, just to say that, you know, I am seriously concerned. You know that I has a responsibility to give direction to her directorate. And we have now been entertained here in the own version or their own version of the legislation and the law and how one should go about it. Chairperson, we cannot listen to stuff like that. If these people don't know what they should be doing, the deputy minister is also in attendance here, then something must be done. I raised my concerns right out the, you know, back then when we appointed a very inexperienced person in this position to lead this directorate. So, Chairperson, this cannot be tolerated. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable De Blanche, Honorable Siabi.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is simple. I was just requesting that we allow them to answer all the questions, because some of our questions were not answered. And if we say it's a waste of time and we can't continue while some of our questions were not answered, it might affect how we discuss the report next week. So my humble request is that we allow them to answer all the questions as posed before we can develop a way forward.
Thank you, Honorable Whip. Your request is agreed to. Honorable members, the Honorable Whip has made a request. I, as the chairperson, I agree and adhere to his request. All the questions will be responded to. Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate what the Whip just said, because I was concerned about our questions that were not answered. The first one was who has the authority to classify reports? Now, obviously, Mr. September.
Honorable Meshu,
yes,
please,
ma'am.
Do not continue with questions. I said they will first answer the first round of questions.
It is my first round, Chairperson, that will not answer.
No. We are saying now we're giving them an opportunity to answer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Meshu. Honorable Edi, you have an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Chair. I was sending over to Mr. Ramaphosa to then clarify some of the issues.
Thank you, Executive Director, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, and esteemed members of the committee. I will restrict myself to view a few aspects of the miss, because this is the bone of contention at the moment, and indicate that the whole notion of non-compliance with the miss is not with regard to the process of classification of the document or grading of the document by the institution, IPED, or the executive director, but it relates to not matching the document appropriately as top secret throughout all the pages. The process of determination in terms of miss as to the level of grading of this report was done internally. It is an internal process. However, we inadvertently missed to mark all the pages as top secret, and that is the element that we refer to as non-compliance with the miss. And I think that we could have been misunderstood in that regard. Honorable members raised the questions with regard to who has the authority to classify the document. I would refer the Honorable Committee to Chapter 2 of the MIS, Clause 2 in particular, and that is contained in page 4 of the MIS document. And that provides that the head of the institution or the person acting on his or her behalf who prepares, generates, or initially classifies a document or has it classified. That is the person that has the authority. So it is the head of the institution or a person designated by the head of the institution to do so. I picked up, and it's unfortunate that the whole notion of top secret is apparently from different perspectives. However, what the MIS is saying with regard to top secret is contained in pages six and seven of the MIS document. That is clause 4.4. The definition of top secret is that the classification given to the information that can be used by malicious opposing hostile elements to neutralize the objectives and functions of institutions and or state. The test is that the information must be classified top secret when the compromise thereof can disrupt the effective execution of information or operational planning and or plans. Two, can seriously damage operational relations between institutions. Three, can lead to discontinuation of diplomatic relationship between states. And finally, can result in declaration of war. It is unfortunate that the narrative canvassed in various platforms and institutions is that when for a document or report to be classified as top secret, it must be of threat to national security. However, the first two elements, which are related to the planning operations and execution of the functioning of the institutions or the damage that can result between any institutions is generally disregarded, and this is unfortunate. However, it is definitely a fact that such classification is permissible in our instance, and it was accordingly used in classifying the report in question. There was a question with regard to the circumstances under which the report was classified. As earlier indicated, we looked at information and the sensitivity of that particular information contained. There is no intention, and there will be no intention whatsoever, to protect members of the South African police. Otherwise, IPID would be defeating its own existence and mandate. So the sensitivity behind the information is with regard to people that are considered witnesses in this instance. As Mr. September indicated, the report contains annexures, and those annexures have personal information that, when exposed, can lead to more risk to those people. And secondly, the fact that these people, subject matter of this investigation has given rise to certain names of members of SAPS who have not been charged criminally or departmentally, says to us that we cannot be complacent to the leakage of the report and make it a public document when such people have not been formally charged either criminally or departmentally. So it is on that particular basis that we continue to hold the report as top secret. And as indicated in our last slide in the presentation, the executive director would or might consider regrading of the document and reclassification thereof, depending on changing circumstances. And those include the charging, formal charging of these people appearing in court and appearing before their departmental tribunals to determine they are guilty or otherwise. Thank you.
The pertinent question that you asked was around what is the difference between the preliminary report that was leaked and the final report. I will ask Mr. September to just take us through the 3 points that we think are pertinent in the final report. Thank you.
Thank you, Executive Director. The issues that emanate was the issue of the National Commissioner, the former National Commissioner, and his failure to cooperate with the investigating team, which also then led to a criminal case docket being opened by IPID. And that also delayed the process of reporting to our stakeholders. The other matters was the allegations that we had to investigate concerning certain corruption or corruptive allegations that were made against the late, now deceased, Lieutenant Colonel Kinnear. We had to also transverse those particular allegations and documents that was presented to us from the DPP's office. We also had to bring out a definitive response about the removal of the protection in 2019, because that was not our terms of reference in the in initial investigation. So we had to make a specific pronouncement on the withdrawal of the protection in 2019. As members would know, that became also, or that was an issue, but it was not our original terms of reference, but we had to clear that.
and we also came up with a final report on that particular unlawful withdrawal of protection on the life of Colonel Kanye and his family. I hope I've answered those particular questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think that's where we're leaving it.
Chair?
I have, Honorable Deputy Minister, I have Lieutenant General Tabelo. Should I give Lieutenant General an opportunity, or would you like to come in now?
No, you can give the Lieutenant General the opportunity.
Lieutenant General, Honorable Marekwa, I'll take you in the next round of questions. Lieutenant General Tabelo.
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought I should come in after the statement that were made by the ED and the team in respect of the response, Chairperson. Last year, what was received was a preliminary report, and upon receipt, now for detective, crime detection, summoned the internal investigation. I must say, Chairperson, that what we are receiving from IPIC are the recommendations. Upon receipt of the recommendations, we must action now the internal FATF processes. And that was done to investigate the matter. Maybe the shortcoming that happened at the time that the summoning of the investigation happened was not to write back to say we are following, but IPAC knows, colleagues knows that with every recommendation that we are receiving, we need to initiate internal investigation according to the South African Police Service disciplinary code. So that is the process that has been followed. The new report, the last report, the final report was only received this year. I think a month, 2 months after that, I came to the office, and that is when we wanted the same investigator who investigated the initial report, the preliminary report. My apologies, the tongue slip of the initial of the preliminary report was to then indicate if the same conclusion that he came to when she was investigating on the preliminary report. Upon receipt of the final report, will the same conclusion that she has arrived at or he has arrived at still stand so that we can finalize our response? Chairperson, thank you so much. I submit.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable ED, or do you have any other members who need to respond? Because I have Lieutenant General Lebia. Honorable Marekwa, Shembeni, Siabe, I'll take you after the responses. Honorable Executive Director, do you still have any further responses?
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. It's Mr. Satimbi here. Just a response, and I think at the following PCP, the issue of the recommendations presented to SAPS must be transversed and discussed in detail, because we have not received any official response from SAPS. We, as indicated in our presentation and as indicated in our oral response, that the preliminary report in 2021, we had made recommendations, and those recommendations needed to be implemented in terms of the Act. We have not received a response in terms of the Act, and yes, we've indicated because members were going on retirement and were faced with ill health. That is why we brought about the preliminary report and the recommendations. The recommendations are final. The final report does not change those recommendations. And yet we have issued the final report in May. We are now currently in November. We have not received a response from SAPS. We only received a response from the national head of the Directorate of Priority Crimes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Lieutenant General Labia.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. The response from the DPC, I think that it will be short. Firstly, I think that the IPED have indicated that they received our response. Indeed, when we received the recommendation on the 5th, dated the 5th of October last year, we studied both the reports as well as the copies of the docket. And on the 26th of October, indeed, we responded in a 9-page document, which we will not deal with the content, but we responded to that. I have noted that there is indication that we will be engaging on the matter. We have not received the request for engagement, but we will be doing that as soon as we receive that. Indeed, the recommendation, we shall have attended to them. They are recommendations, and we attend to them as recommendation. I will not deal with the content thereof. Chairperson, let me also say that as the DPCI, we do not protect anyone. It doesn't matter whether the one that needs to be dealt with is within the DPCI or outside the DPCI. We have dealt with our own on several occasions, and we will continue to do that where the circumstances require. In this particular matter, Honorable Chairperson, we can also indicate that those who have caused the death of our colleague are obviously secured before court, and on the 10th of December, they will again be coming. It is painful that we are dealing with the matter here, but we will continue to deal with those indicate the commitment that we have with regard to dealing with this matter. Lastly, DPCI is a specialized investigation, and we have got various methods that we deploy in the investigation. For now, that will be our comment, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Members, I'll take the last round of questions now. You can do follow-up questions, but this will definitely be the last round of questions. Thank you very much. I'll notice Honorable Siabi, Honorable Marekwa, Shembeni, Whitfield, and then Ter Blanche. Could I start with Honorable Siabi?
Thank you, Chair. My only question in this round would be that is the law allowing that if you have not, I think I'm following up on Honorable Whitfield's question as to whether they got permission from the minister. My question is the law allowing that if you have not followed Miss to the letter, you can be given an opportunity to correct if it was classified and you have not classified it correctly? Is it possible to correct and follow the procedure and classify it correctly? Does the law allow for that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siabi. Honorable Marekwa.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members on the platform and DM and all participants on the platform this morning. Chair, I actually was covered by the speaker before, Dr. Libia. She covered some of the issues that I wanted to raise, and I think I'm okay with that. But one thing I wanted also to add, Chair, is that I think the more explanations, listening to questions and some of the inputs, for me sounds like bordering closer to dealing with the report in a way. So I was just saying maybe we need to be checking in terms of that members ask and the input that are made, because as you go to what happened and what happened, in a way you're giving light of some of that would be my input, but I was covered by the lady. I'm sorry, I didn't capture the name earlier, but it was the lady speaking before Dr. Libea. I'm covered from her input. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marekwa. Honorable Shembeni.
Yes, thank you, Chair. and thank you, Dr. Libea. I was just checking with the responses of Dr. Libea whether he was responding on to Lieutenant General Tibelo, because Lieutenant General Tibelo said now they received the recommendations. But what we were checking here, that after receiving the recommendations, were these recommendations implemented according to them, and was there any report? Because the report that I'm seeing here of the DPCI, I don't know whether it goes with the investigation and the arrest of the so-called now the perpetrators on the murder of Colonel Kinyet. But now here we are having a lot of suspects that deals with the withdrawals and of the protection and all these things that it's internally that needs to be dealt with by the SAPS. Now, I was checking that. Did Lieutenant General Tibelo compile a report with his office after implementing the recommendations by the IP? Because here, I think there is a misunderstanding somewhere. Because here, yes, Dr. Lubia is answering. But is he answering on that one, or is he answering on the DPCI side? Thank you.
Honorable members, please note that I'm rounding up now, and we will also be having the item on the agenda next week. It will be a physical meeting. The minister, the national commissioner, the DPCI head, and they've been all being instructed to attend. There will be no apologies unless to the chairperson. So it is an open meeting to the public. Honorable Whitfield and then Honorable de Blanche, and then the round of responses. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and for your indulgence in this meeting. It is much appreciated. Chair, the leaking of and publication of top secret information is a criminal offence. So, I mean, it's very strange that since the documents have leaked, there's been no consequence or indication of consequence or steps that appear to be taken against these media houses or any publication which has published such top secret classified information. And so I think it's quite important that we understand, you know, why those who classified the document have sat back and simply allowed this information to be published if it was in fact classified top secret. I think that is very important for us to understand. Chair, the other question is whether the executive director of IPED received any instruction from the minister to whom she reports in respect of the classification of the IPED report. And lastly, Chair, can this report in fact be considered classified correctly if it was not appropriately classified in terms of the minimum information security standards. You know, there appears to be this explanation that the report is classified top secret. We only forgot to stamp each page top secret. Well, I mean, if any process of those standards was not followed, surely the report is not classified until it is classified correctly. And very lastly, Chair, this entire saga and other matters surrounding this and the state of policing in the Western Cape, which has come under scrutiny in this committee, and the revelation of gang capture of the police, requires beyond this report and beyond the Kinea matter, a very serious investigation by Parliament into the state of policing, not only in the Western Cape, but in South Africa, and the level of political interference and influence and corruption within the SAPS. Chair, I'm very pleased that the IPED amendment bill is coming to Parliament. This will be our opportunity to really provide the powers to IPED that they require and to insulate IPED from political interference. Because the more we scratch on this issue, Chair, this specific issue of this report, it is becoming abundantly clear that there are powers at play that are not intimately involved in this investigation process, but certainly outside of it. Have captured the police. How can we trust the police to treat the recommendations from IPED with any seriousness whatsoever? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Whitfield. Honourable Shimbeni, you may lower your hand. Have you come into the next round or is your hand still up? Lower your hand, please, Honourable de Blanche. You the last person from the committee.
Chairperson, thank you. I think we covered a lot of ground here this morning. And, you know, there are obviously outstanding responses. But Chairperson, my last concern is this response and report is available for quite some time. And, you know, we heard just now that people are still waiting for one another. You know, my concern is that there is apparently no seriousness, no urgency, you know, to deal with this report. And my question is, Chairperson, and maybe that it should be directed to the acting National Commissioner and to the Deputy Minister, what is going to be done now to ensure that now eventually at this stage now, that this is going to be taken seriously with a view to finalize this and deal with the issues raised very specifically in the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. That's last round of questions. Honourable Deputy Minister, would you like to come in before I allow the rest of IPED to respond? Honourable Deputy Minister?
I think let's allow IPED and then I'll come at that. Thanks, Chair.
Executive Director ED, you may respond. You may also give your members an opportunity to respond. You just give them the opportunity. I'm not going to call them. So ED, you just introduce who come next.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to respond to a member CRD on whether is it possible to classify it correctly. Yes, Chairperson, according to MIS, we must go back and classify the document correctly. We will certainly do that. That's our priority because we are still continuing to do some kind of investigation and we're still waiting for formal responses so that we can deal with the matter. And there are also challenges that we're dealing with regards to the outcome of the NPA. But this is what is going to be presented in the next meeting on the 9th. And then with regards to the leaking of the reports, are they the media house. I must say that Chairperson, honestly, we did not deal with the media house, but we have already instituted a forensic investigation. And this forensic investigation was led by Deloitte and Touch because we want to see where is the leakage coming from? Who did that? So we are busy with Deloitte and Touch and they finalized the report. we will be acting on the report itself. But up until that time, we will be able to share with the Parliament as to who are those that are implicated in the leaking of the report itself. And I agree with Member Whitfield. We realized when we were investigating the late Kenya's matter that a gang member has infiltrated a South African police service, and we are busy getting information because we have not stopped investigating. I must be honest, we have not stopped investigating because there are people who are still contacting us, who are giving us information on what is happening within the SAPS. So we're busy trying to get more information, and we will also play part or be part of that investigation of gang members being part who are capturing the police service. And I agree with Member Whitfield as well with regards to the amendment bill. Chairperson, we need more power. We need more power because we consistently remind and write letters of remind, and we're not responded to, I must indicate, by the then former National Commissioner. Hence, we took the route of opening up a criminal case against him. So, yeah. And then the last one is around the seriousness. I think Member Blanche was asking the acting National Commissioner on the matter. I'll leave it at that, Chair.
And thank you very much. Next.
I think members are fine. They feel that I've covered them, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to all those who have responded. Honourable members, Honourable Sihabe asked if in law we are allowed to request the minister to grant permission for the report to be classified. That permission should be requested. And it is very clear that the document was not classified correctly. This would jeopardize our investigation into the media reports and how it was reported to the media, since you have admitted today that the document wasn't correctly classified. That is a concern I have. The next concern I have is that we then have to take on the manner in which we have received responses. The ED says that they have not received responses from SAPS. According to the IPED Act, the SAPS had 30 days within which to respond. Could the Deputy Minister, the Acting National Commissioner, kindly please explain in next week's meeting why they have not responded to IPED, as the Executive Director says, you have not responded to date. Next week, we will deal with, by next week, you should have requested the Minister to classify the report so that the report remains classified. The last matter, and it's not a ruling, but the request is that the progress report on the recommendations will be submitted to Parliament next week. It will be a physical meeting, as I've indicated. Judge Tulari from the Western Cape High Court indicated, as the members, honourable members, have mentioned, that gangsters have infiltrated the top management of SAPS in the Western Cape. One of the recommendations made by the report was that the anti-gang unit had to be disestablished, since they had found and confirmed that there was a rogue unit within the anti-gang unit. This falls in line with what Judge Tulari has ruled. A part of your progress report on the recommendations should give us a progress report on the anti-gang unit. The rogue unit was in the anti-gang unit, and Judge Tulari's that judgment. The IPED amendment bill has been published in the Government Gazette for public comments. I request the committee secretary as well as our content advisor to circulate that draft IPED bill to all the members. Honourable members, the committee will now take a 10-minute break. When we return, Honourable DP, those who are not required for the POC Tatara bill, they are allowed to be excused. Yes, DM?
You said you were going to allow me to say something before conclude the matter.
Yes, you may say something. My apologies, DM.
No, thanks very much, Chair, and thanks to members. There is one to which I thought which one should raise made by members around an inexperienced person appointed. And I think even if there are challenges with the issues that we are dealing with, there are things that we should really try and find a way to put our views through without going to that level. The other matter that I thought we should conclude appropriately is with regards to the processes that were explained around the missed document. That the issue of marking papers, the missed document is not very clear in this regard in terms of how that should be done, and it will be incorrect for us to then conclusively say the report, because only one page was marked, therefore it's not in line with MIS. And the minister doesn't have powers to in the classification of document. It's the responsibility of the head of the institution, and in this regard is the ED.
Honorable,
I thought I should put through those comments, Chair.
Honorable Deputy Minister, I'm requesting that the IPED, the National Commissioner, the Minister, the head of the DPCI, that you all meet, that you clarify the matter of classification, and that you remember that when you report to us next week, Wednesday, that you are making certain statements in the committee, and that those statements that you're making in the committee are indeed subject to the law. I'm now again, once more, honorable members, you have a 10-minute break. You then will reconvene after 10 minutes, and I'll start with the POC Tatara bill. Thank you very much. Your 10-minute break starts now. I'll reconvene at 20 past 11.
Thanks, Chair. Is it possible that as we reconvene, Chair, we can allow iPad to disconnect because we are handling a different together, with the exception of the acting National Commissioner and the head of the national head of the Hawks, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. I've already made such a ruling. All those who are not required for the POC Tatara bill, you may log out now. I already indicated this. Thank you very much. You are all those who are expected to participate in the POC Tatara bill. You'll resume I will get back at 20 past, 25 past. I'll start exactly at 25 past 11. You have a break now?
Recording stopped.